Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, man. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Trash Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. The DA show throughout the morning breaking down the national championship game. And last night, two plays will stand out forever. Number one, Stetson Bennett recovering from a huge gaffe, trying to throw away a pass, it being termed a fumble and recovered by Alabama, turning into an easy 6 points from less than 20 yards out of that drive, and Bennett answering with a 40-yard strike, and then the pick six that iced it poetically from a Georgia defense that was on its toes and stood tall all night long.
Bennett, they pick up the blitz. He'll throw it near side, looking, reaching around to make the grab. Touchdown. Adonai Mitchell, but there's a flag on the play back at the line of scrimmage. Not sure what it's about.
Snap to Young. Drops back. Pressure from the edges. He throws near sideline. And it's intercepted. Intercepted. Keely Ringo at the 21. Off he goes. 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. Near sideline. Breaks the tackle. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. 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 Georgia.
What a performance last night. That was Eli Gold on the Tide Radio Network, and that was Scott Fowler on the Georgia Bulldogs Radio Network. Georgia finds a way to finally summit the mountain they've been unable to climb for many, many years, and three devastating losses, all in different fashion. The national title game in 17, the SEC title game in 18, the SEC title game again this year, and they finally get past Saban in Alabama. Joining us this morning here on the show to break it all down, our friend Chip Patterson, college football insider for CBSSports.com and one of the hosts of the Cover 3 college football podcast. Chip, good morning.
Good morning, DA. Great to be back with you, especially at the true conclusion of what has been a memorable, from kickoff to finish last night on Monday, an awesome college football season.
Felt like that game had turned on the Stetson Bennett fumble recovery. Bama didn't even realize it was a fumble, but recovered it with just one toe in bounds. First of all, did you think the refs got that right?
Yes, I did think that they got that right, but I wasn't as confident because of two things. The first of which started at the very beginning of the game, which was Alabama's inability to get the ball in the end zone. All the times that what could have been seven ended up as three early on in that game, I think was very, very telling. And, you know, on one side, if you're Nick Saban and that Alabama coaching staff, you're thinking to yourself, like, hey, you know what? We think this is going to be a low-scoring game. We respect our defense. And by the way, I do think that outside of one long James Cook run and, you know, the Stetson Bennett pass to Mitchell, for the most part, and at the end, I mean, Zamir White started running it really well, but Alabama's defense played well enough to win a national championship. But Alabama's inability to score touchdowns and instead settling for field goals from the very beginning of the game, I think did not bode well for Alabama. There's no way that Nick Saban could have known that his 1,000-yard receiver, his leading receiver, Jameson Williams, was going to go down with an injury later in the game and completely tilt this matchup of Alabama's offense against Georgia's defense. But if you were to give him that information, he might have been a little bit riskier when he's got fourth and goal from the three. But red zone effectiveness was huge. And then the second piece of this, why I still didn't feel comfortable, even if Alabama was going to get that fumble, it still was very, very obvious that Alabama's young wide receivers just weren't quite ready in a way that I, and I think a lot of other people, were expecting. You know, after seeing Jerry Jeudy and Devonta Smith step into the game as true freshmen in the second half and beat Georgia 4 years ago, I think that there was an expectation that some of those young wide receivers, you know, Ajay Hall was targeted like six or seven times, two catches. You know, Ja'Cory Brooks, they were trying to get him involved in the mix as well. I thought Jaleel Billingsley, while not a freshman, certainly a little further down on the passing option. So Alabama's receivers, you know, this Bryce Young took all the onus for it, but the man had 395 passing yards. It was a fascinating game through and through, but I did not think it was going to tilt Alabama's way on the fumble. I do think that the refs got it right.
Defensively speaking, you mentioned the Georgia Bulldogs holding Bama to threes, not seven. Blocked field goal in there as well. The only touchdown they gave up was a 16-yard drive after the aforementioned incomplete pass / fumble. Letter grade. What would you grade out the Georgia Bulldogs defense last night?
A. Given the stage, given the opponent, given the what Bryce Young had done, without a doubt, you've got to go A on the letter grade here. You feel like Bryce Young had played this awful game, and you look up, he had thrown the ball about 55 times, but he had 392 passing yards. It's ridiculous. So to be able to play a term, this is great. I don't know if you've heard this term before, but red zone roulette. We will let you move the ball into the red zone, but we think that we are going to out-execute you, and we think the odds of you, the offense, scoring a touchdown are like the odds of roulette. And the house has the tilt and the odds, and so does the defense when you play red zone roulette. We're not going to give up any explosive plays. You're not going to hit a 50-yard touchdown on us. We'll let you get 10 yards. We'll let you get 7 yards. We'll let you get 15 yards. But when we get in the red zone, we're going to bow up and we're going to make you gamble. And we think that when you gamble, we're going to end up winning more often than not. Georgia was more than happy to let Bryce Young and the Alabama offense move it down the field, but then make them play red zone roulette. And hey, what's the roulette table? Red and black. That was Bulldogs winning it all day.
Oh, very nice. Chip Patterson joins us, college football insider for CBS Sports. I was so thoroughly impressed by the energy, the relentlessness, the fight and the vigor that the Bulldogs defense showed. Of course, all season long, but on this stage, they were in Bryce Young's kitchen the entire night. They flew to the football. They raised each other up. They high-fived. They jump on one another. They knew it was the backbone of a win. The question is, could last night have happened if they didn't play in the SEC title game? Did Georgia need maybe some humbling, maybe some motivation, maybe some experience having seen them before, maybe needing Alabama on film? Could last night have happened if they did not play in Atlanta?
I believe they needed Atlanta, and I'm going to go to Kirby Smart's own comments after that game as my reference point for the answer, because he stepped into the postgame press conference after the loss with almost encouragement. And I remember his phrasing, I don't want to quote him, but the phrasing was along the lines of, like, I think this is going to help us refocus. I think this is going to, you know, really help us going into the playoff. Like, there was absolutely a sense of, you know, being handed something that Georgia had not seen the entire season. Georgia absolutely steamrolled so many of its opponents with the exact same kind of game script. Stetson Bennett hadn't had to all of a sudden really be pressed in a way like he had. Most of his downfield passes and most of his passing yards during the season was when Georgia had a 10-plus point lead. But then all of a sudden things were different. And so I'm going to say yes, because Kirby Smart himself stepped to the podium after the SEC championship game loss and started talking about how he thought it was going to help the team refocus. So I agree. In terms of the ebbs and flows of a championship team, and every championship team has a story, one of the most important chapters in this story is that SEC championship game loss.
And Stetson Bennett had said during the week that he was ready now. He had worked out the nerves. Didn't certainly look like it in the first half. But to a man, I think so. I think unless they met in Atlanta, last night cannot happen. And I wonder about the Kirby Smart factor in that way as well. Kirby having seen Bama on film. I mean, it's one thing to watch their other games, another thing to actually coach against them. Saban had always run circles around his assistant coaches. But how many of those assistant coaches got a replay on the game a month later? It must have helped the X's and O's for Kirby to find a way to solve Saban last night too, right?
Well, you're tapping into my biggest contradiction about the analysis of this game, because on one hand, you've got a starved fan base that has been operating at the peak of the sport, a program that's been operating at the peak of the sport, and the drought is over, and I want to celebrate that, and I want to give Georgia that. I want to give Jordan Davis that, the senior who turned down the NFL draft to be able to come back. I want to give N'Kobe Dean that. I want to give Stetson Bennett his amazing story that we've been telling for 2 years. I want to give him that. But if you're going to talk about X's and O's, we can't ignore that one of the things that helped Georgia win this national championship was Jameson Williams and John Metchie not being in the lineup. And that is an X's and O's advantage that totally changes how much Georgia's secondary, which again was torched for 421 yards in that SEC championship game, it just changes the way they play defense. So, like, again, I have to acknowledge intellectually that a huge part of this national championship is not just the injury to Jameson Williams in the game, but the absence of John Metchie. But while at the same time, Georgia is a deserving champion, and I want to make sure that that story gets told as well. But from an X's and O's perspective, the way that Georgia played defense changed in a way that advantaged the Bulldogs in a big way when Jameson Williams went to the locker room.
Totally fair. When we look at Kirby Smart taking over the Georgia program, Georgia had not won a national championship in 35 years when he took over. By year number two, they're in the national title game, losing in crushing fashion to the Tide. They had gotten to the SEC title game, lost in crushing fashion to the Tide. They've been to the college football playoff. They've been to the SEC title game. They were the number one team of the country for most of this season. Smart has now positioned Georgia as a worthy adversary, just like Dabo did with Clemson, to Saban's Tide. What did Kirby take from Saban and use in Athens to make Georgia a powerhouse at the next level?
There is there's two things that Nick Saban does, but the one word that goes between them, I think, is relentless. It starts at the very beginning of the process with a relentless approach to recruiting. And I understand that every coach is going to tell you that they're always recruiting. It's happening 12 months a year. Well, I've been told that when it comes to the Nick Saban programs and the coaches who are really using that recruiting playbook, then recruiting is a part of every single meeting. It might be a little part of every single meeting, because of course you've got to focus on the game ahead, what you're doing, development, review, and practice. But we talk about recruiting every single day in every single meeting, because we are always having our eye on the way to be able to acquire talent to keep this thing going. It is a relentless approach to recruiting that has made Nick Saban, have number one class after number one class after number one class. And it is why Kirby Smart, when he arrived at Georgia, took a Georgia program that under Mark Richt was recruiting at a very high level. I mean, heck, you're in Georgia, so there's some built-in advantages there, but really turns the Bulldogs into a top three kind of recruiting powerhouse. And then the second place where I would use the word relentless is the way that they talk about eliminating your will to compete, and the mentality that is a very, Nick Saban-based idea in terms of the way that you play on Saturdays and the physical and brutal and violent approach that you bring to the game. So those two things, you bring in the biggest players with the most size, the most speed, and the most NFL talent, and you teach them a mentality of just absolutely physically overwhelming your opponent. Those two things are not exclusive to Nick Saban, but they certainly come to mind when I think about the DNA of these two programs.
Chip Patterson, CBS Sports college football columnist, Cover 3 podcast as well. Finally, if the Tide is the power brokers of the West, Georgia is the power brokers of the East, which SEC team is best positioned to crash their party next year or in coming years?
Texas A&M. I think the win. I mean, listen, this is another like low sort of bubbling thing that we need to turn our attention to. But prior to this season, Nick Saban had zero losses against former assistant coaches, and yep, this year he's got two. So I would look to not only Kirby Smart, but I would look to Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. Speaking of recruiting and speaking of Saban assistants and the Saban method, who's got the number one recruiting class in the country right now? Texas A&M. So I think it is Jimbo Fisher, who, by the way, I don't know if you watched any of Jimbo's film room in terms of that broadcast, but I like the way they did that. They just actually put a whole staff together rather than strangers and listening to Jimbo and his assistants break down a game the way that they would on a Sunday, for example, was very, very cool. So give me Texas A&M, and it all starts at recruiting. They got the win against Alabama that's going to give them some confidence. I think that Max Johnson, the former LSU quarterback who's going to be at Texas A&M after a transfer, I think that he is poised to have a really big season for the Aggies. And I think that that's a really, really tough top three to be able to crack in the SEC right now.
Both you and I know that college football never goes to sleep. It's a 365-a-year proposition. There's the transfer portal, and there's recruiting, and there's coaching changes, and there's spring football. And so, Chip, you've been incredibly generous with your time throughout the entire football season, but this never ends. And so my sense is sometime right before spring games, we'll have you back on. We'll talk a little spring football with you.
Hey, until you say that now, but just wait till Ryan Day goes to the Chicago Bears. And all of a sudden
that's
we've
a good
got
point.
Ohio
that's
State
actually a really
search.
Good point. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm still on high alert until the NFL carousel calms down. And but yeah, man, DA, I love talking ball with you. Always a pleasure, and good to be back with you.
Yeah, Day is leaving for an NFL job. Harbaugh is leaving for an NFL job. So yeah, we'll have you back on Thursday, I think. Okay.
And then it's a coaching carousel to replace them because we're talking about the right. Ohio State job, and then the dominoes fall. Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to enjoy that last night's game for about a day, but I've already started mapping out the Cover 3 podcast content calendar for January and February with expectations of tons of stuff. The conversation, like you mentioned, absolutely never stops.
It's an excellent podcast for you college football fans. The Cover 3 podcast brought to you by the good guys over at CBSSports.com. And then read Chip's coverage there and see him on CBS Sports HQ as well. Thank you, Chip.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
Okay, you too. Always love talking ball with Chip Patterson. He's a really great writer and good football mind, as you can tell. And I'm just thoroughly blown away by the energy that I saw from Georgia's defense last night. I realized that they had shown that throughout the season, but it's so much different when you smash Florida or Vanderbilt or Mizzou or Kentucky. It's totally different when you're on the biggest stage and you had just been handed a nightmare a month ago and humiliated, and you fly around and you have such confidence and you're so physical and you take everything personally. That Georgia defense last night, and he's right, no Williams, no Mechie, but my goodness, they were just, it was one of the great defensive performances, I think, in national championships history over the last, certainly during the college football playoff era, I think during the BCS era as well, against a Heisman Trophy winner who had just ripped you apart a month ago. You held into all field goals besides when your quarterback turned the football over at the 16-yard line. and you
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Scored another touchdown yourself in the pick six. And you could add a scoop and score in the first drive of the game. When we come back on the show, the aftermath of the brew. Ha, 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 ha. Who won all of the beers? It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
There's 44 bowl games. The DA Show is picking them all. On the line, the most valuable prize known to man. DA, Mraz, and Bogush in a winner-take-all. It's the brouhaha.
So you're the little lady who started this great brouhaha.
Yeah, real brouhaha.
You know what these things can be like.
Quite a brouhaha.
The brouhaha. Well, I thought I had played a perfect poker hand last night. Going into the game, I figured Mraz and Bogush, with a good lead on me, would take Alabama the safer bet plus the points. You've got points, and every time that Alabama's ever gotten points in the last 8 years, they've won and won outright, including the SEC championship game. So I thought my power move would be bet 120 beers on Georgia. And I didn't just want to zag where they zigged. I actually thought Georgia would win this football game because of the familiarity that they had gotten by playing a month ago. Really hard to beat the same team a month later, but also really hard to do it when that other team, this being Georgia, was the number one team of the country. You give the number one team of the country two cracks to beat Alabama within a month? I like the chances at least doing it once. So it's why I took Georgia, but we had to blindly bet yesterday, and I bet 120 beers on Georgia. Mraz, in a late swap, took Georgia as well for 72 beers, and Bogues took Bama for 36. Had Bama won last night, Bogues would have won all of the beers. He would have been owed 95 beers from Mraz. He would have been plus 58. Mraz would have owed him 95 beers, or 93 beers. I would have owed him 190 beers. Bogues, with a Bama win last night, would have been handed nearly 300 beers. Instead, with the Georgia victory, Mraz nudges me, noses me, edges me out of my beer. He wins 111 to 105. Bogues finishes at negative 14, meaning I owe Mraz six beers, a nice healthy six pack, and Bogues owes Mraz 125 brouhahas in the inaugural brouhaha competition. Mraz came from way back to win it. Mraz, take your bows. Congratulations.
Oh, finally, I bet one. I could freeze, but now I can warm up with some nice toasty brews. And I do have to say, part of me feels really, really, really bad for Andrew Bogus, who tried his damnedest to bet one beer and two beers apart and ends up owing, at least 10, 12 packs of beer my way in the end by going with the conservative approach. Maybe he should have got more Brandon Staley and he'd be out in the lead here, D.A.
You flipped the entire competition around when going into the college football playoff, New Year's Eve, you trailed by, I think, 120 beers or something like that. I think 120 beers you were.
I think I'm going to trail by 86 beers, and then I bet 120 beers.
Oh.
Or 144 beers, and I trailed, whatever it was, yeah.
Somehow you had trailed by 100 beers or more, and then you bet 144 beers on Alabama beating Cincinnati. Bogus and I were nickel and diming a beer here, three beers here, five beers here, and then you blew us out of the water with 144. It was the turning point of the competition. Then yesterday, you were leaning Alabama. At what point in the show did you flip to Georgia?
I would say about 5 minutes before you threw the break. Because internally, I did like Georgia, but ultimately I said, you know what, how am I going to go against Saban? And then I said, aha, but let me get inside the heads of Bogus and DA and see what they're thinking. And I knew. I said, DA is going to go over 100 beers. He has to. And he's going to think we're going to take Bama. So I'm blocking DA. I'm not going to let him get inside my head and think he knows what I'm thinking. I'm going to know what he's thinking. And I thought right.
How did you choose the number of beers?
Well, I quickly did a math and I knew, stunned to a math, I knew that I led you by somewhere along the lines of between your negatives and my positives about 55 beers. So I said, if he's going to go over 100 here, I need to make sure that 55 plus what I'm betting gets me at least near the ballpark where I'm not going to lose to you. So I threw a dart and I tried to add up 12 packs. And I knew if I got to that was 6 12 packs worth, that I guess I'd be willing to lose the other way to Bogus. But I knew that probably that number would get me near where you were betting, and I was not going to lose that to you.
Look, it was a masterstroke. I can only tip my hat at a great competitor. I thought I had this thing. I'm kicking myself for not betting more beers, because had I just bet 130 beers instead of 120 beers, I would win them all. And I'm just like, I was confident in the Georgia pick. I thought I was going against the grain with you guys, and it just took a little bit more stones. I figured 120 beers, how many more can I bet? But I should have done 130, 140, 144. Could have done 200 and would have just racked up. Instead, I fall six beers short of you. And so I owe you the six pack. Bogues, you owe so many beers. Mm. How did you feel as you were watching last night's game unfold?
Well, I mean, I felt pretty good for 75% of the game. I was sitting pretty. And then all of a sudden, it was all gone. And I played this entire thing to avoid what ended up happening in reality. Like, the one thing I don't mind losing, because this is not, I knew I was probably going to lose anyway, because I don't bet regularly. This is not a common thing for me, and I have battled the strategy part of it the entire time. So I was not confident ever, and my fear always was not losing by too many, and I lost by too many. And now I got to pay Sean in basically a truckload of beers.
So now you owe him 125 beers. Mraz, did you say there was a christening or a birthday party?
We haven't booked it yet, but Peyton, we are planning on christening her in May. So, you know, obviously some family, hopefully things clear up. We can get a bunch of people at the house to do this. obviously I'm going to serve some beer. And what better way to take care of the beer than making sure I get all of that covered by Bogus? The one bet my wife will be happy to hear I won is knowing, you know, a good chunk of the alcohol portion of this party will be paid for by Andrew Bogus.
I'm the open bar at a party I'm not going to be invited to.
Maybe. Maybe we'll have to send you one. Maybe.
Why don't, Bogues, you and I go to this birthday party or this christening?
It's a christening. How many times are you going to ask if it's a birthday party?
And why don't we try to drink as much of the beer as possible so that at least you didn't just buy it just for Mraz?
I mean,
I could probably take down 15 to 18 beers.
I mean, let's be honest. We've got a team of Sean's friends. We could all drink that before Sean has a chance to get near a cooler that day.
I'll make you a deal. You guys can come, not bring a gift for my daughter at all, and bring the beer and drink as much beer as you want if you two bartend the whole party.
The visual.
I'll come to that.
Nobody's got to worry about serving themselves a beer or a drink. You two sit behind Bob's by the Bay and are bartenders for my daughter's christening. No gift needed, and you can drink as much as you want. You two bartend.
I would weigh that option.
Yeah, I mean, I would need a Bob's Bar shirt, first of all.
We have those.
I know. I would need one of those. But this feels like a bonus loss we're taking here, D.A.
That's actually true. Yeah, we have to actually labor.
Right.
The beer.
Why can't we just be invited to the party as friends of Peyton?
Well, you may have been making the list anyway, but now you wanted to be smart, Alex, about it. So I'm trying to get some free labor out of it, too.
Here's the bit. We just get Bayou Bear real hungry, and we plant these 10 cases of beer in front of him and just say, brother, we'll buy you tacos. You just do work here. And we watch him. We watch him drain 150 beers.
Like Newman with the muffin tops and milk.
We could just pour them all into a bucket, D.A. Give him a straw and see what happens.
This is facts.
We should just empty all these cases into a kiddie pool, give him a pitcher, and you just get to keep dunking the pitcher and drinking the beer out of it.
I'm picturing Barney in The Simpsons.
You know, we've done stunt to a newser. Somebody paid like a debt in pennies on someone's driveway. What is the pettiest way I could repay 125 beers?
If you gave Mraz one beer a day up until this christening.
That would be so annoying.
That would be amazing.
Yes. All loose beers. I got a stack of my shit.
Ones too.
That's probably about 120 days or so. Once it's coming up in May.
Yeah.
So 4 months or so, 5 months. So you could basically pay a beer a day at work. Here's one Bud Light.
That would be so annoying.
Here's one Kona. All right, AB has our headlines. Congratulations to Mraz collecting all of the brouhahas, the inaugural competition. I think it's going to come back next year. That was a lot of fun, a lot of stress, a lot of good eating in this one. So that was great to have on the show for the first time.
And DA, the PGP coming out after the show, me and Bogus discussed potential rule tweaks to next year's brouhaha.
Perfect. And the competition committee speaks.
Before we leave, I've got one historical question, so I know just how bad this loss is. I feel like, because this is going to be somewhere between like $250 and $300, I think, of me having to pay off all this beer. Is this now the most expensive lost bet in show history? Because we cannot put a price tag on the dignity and the shame that Sean doesn't have that he keeps losing in all of these embarrassing bets. So monetarily, is this the worst hit anyone's taken on the show?
I don't think you'll be at $300, because if you just buy cases of beer, really these should be dollar beers.
No, I can't buy. I got to buy him real beers. If he wants Kona, I'm going to buy him Konas.
Yeah, but okay. But he can't get all Konas, right? He said
no, it's going to be like some domestics. Bud Light, maybe some Heineken Light.
Bud Light comes in and, okay, Heineken Light might be a little bit more. But so you mean 120 beers.
Again, it's for a party. Beers. Yeah.
Yeah, so 200.
Maybe $200. Yeah, maybe $200. Yeah, that certainly would be the most expensive bet loss in show history.
All right.
I don't think there's even a close second.
Snooze, you lose.
I mean, I think the closest second is that I was out because I bought the Progresso clam chowder for Mraz. And the dodgeballs. So I think I was out like $30, even though I won the bet.
That's good. So I'm the Babe Ruth of lost bets.
I had to buy a new kiddie pool after the dead mouse was found in the clam chowder.
Other teams hit 8 home runs as a team. He hit 35-40, and here's me, 0-$200. Anyway, all because Georgia won its first football title since 1980 last night. The victory sealed with Kaylee Ringo's 79-yard pick 6 in the final minute. Head coach Kirby Smart felt good with the ball in the air.
All we've done this year is throw balls to our DBs. We've thrown millions of balls because of playing the ball in the air, and when that ball was in the air, I said, he's going to catch this thing, and we're going to win this game.
But
a sad thing is I was screaming to get down, and that was the wrong play there.
Yeah, Ringo kept running, scored the final point to the 33-18 victory over Alabama in Indy. Georgia took the lead for good on a pair of Stetson Bennett TD throws earlier in the final period. Bama led for most of the night, but that lead not too large because they kept kicking field goals, as Chip Patterson laid out earlier this hour. It also didn't help that the Tide lost wideout Jamison Williams in the second quarter to a left knee injury. Another round of CFP committee meetings ended yesterday without an expansion agreement, and it does not sound like they're making any progress on 8 or 12 teams, but there are more talks in a few weeks. The Chicago Bears reportedly adding Bucks defensive coordinator Todd Bowles and Packers OC Nathaniel Hackett to their list of candidates to replace Matt Nagy. Bowles has already interviewed for the Jags job. Hackett also linked to Jacksonville and to Denver. The Broncos also interested in Eric Bieniemy, Eagles DC, Jonathan Gannon, and many others. The Nets said Kyrie Irving again last night. The Blazers still without the injured Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Portland won.
Simons will get it in from the baseline. Looks in the corner for McLemore. He dribbles left, gives it to Nurk. Back to McLemore for 3. Got it! And that should ice this game. Blazers by 8 with 31 seconds left. And the Nets will take their final timeout.
Travis DeMers, Blazers radio. Ben McLemore scored 20. 23 and 11 assists for Anthony Simons in the 114-108 final. Kyrie scored 22 in 40 minutes. The Sixers down the Rockets 111-91 for a 7-game win streak. The Celtics outlasted the Pacers 101-98 in OT. And the Hornets fought off the Bucks 103-99. And the day after being reissued a visa, Novak Djokovic practicing today at the Aussie Open site. The government, though, may still rescind that visa since Djokovic is not vaccinated. And now, we stunned.
Woohoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
As promised earlier this morning, no harlots farting into jars today. Just one of the largest paleontological discoveries in UK history. Really? Workers were doing landscape work at the Rutland Water Nature Reserve last February when they came across an odd-looking rock under the ground. It looked organic. It looked like a jawbone. So they called the city council, which said, "We don't have a dinosaur department. We'll get back to you." Wow. Eventually, a team of paleontologists arrived and began excavating the site. The landscapers had come across an ichthyosaurus, a dolphin-like, warm-blooded, air-breathing sea predator.
Wow.
Not technically a dinosaur, but still a pretty cool find. These things lived 90 to 250 million years ago, and this fossil is nearly intact, 10 meters long, which is why it's one of the best finds of this kind in UK history.
So technically not a dinosaur because it was warm-blooded?
I guess, yes.
Not
yes, scientifically, it's not a dinosaur.
Wow. This is really cool. So they were just doing landscaping and they found a freaking full ichthyosaurus?
Yeah, full, like, and the picture that I included for you guys, there's a guy laying next to it, and it's like 3 times the size of a human. It's insane.
I think longer. I think it might be 5 times the size of a human being.
That's unbelievable. So do you think there were, like, humans around that time that could have gotten eaten by something like this?
I don't think there are humans 250 million years ago.
Well, it's 90 million years ago.
Well, if this was at the era of the dinosaurs, there are no human beings during dinosaur land. This is a common misperception. There were no cavemen during dinosaurs. Those are 2 totally different periods. No human being ever actually saw or lived next to a dinosaur.
Why the Flintstones is not a true story.
That is correct. It is not a documentary. The Flintstones is not a true story.
Yeah, the earliest thought human is 2.4 million to 1.4 million
wow.
years ago.
Wow.
Think about that. 2 million years ago was the first human. We're talking about an ichthyosaurus from 200 million years ago.
Wow. Wow.
Is that not mind-blowing? Like, the length of time, if you ever see a graph or a timeline of human existence alongside, you know, the Ice Age or dinosaurs or the old little mold and fungi that were before dinosaurs, you're like, we are so recent as a species.
It's mind-blowing. So this dolphin, what are we calling it? The
Ichthyosaurus.
Ichthyosaurus would have been probably a lot of room to swim. This probably would have been during like the Panamanapia times, right? When everything was together.
Panamanapia?
What do you call it?
Pangea?
Pangea, where the continents fit like puzzle pieces. They probably had so much more water to swim with.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Is there more ocean during Pangea because all of the land is locked together, or is it actually the same amount of ocean? It's just that the land is,
you know,
in different spots.
It might be, but I'm just talking about more open water. So you know what I mean? So they could get to weird places. But the UK would have been in the middle of the, what'd you call it? The Pangea?
Pangea.
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 It would have been right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it would have got there.
Yeah.
I mean, they should look into that.
I guess maybe the UK underwater, Mraz.
The English Channel or something. Yeah. Okay.
Underwater.
It might have been two layers, Mraz.
Who knows? But I don't know. I find this stuff mind-blowing.
You didn't know it is. Actually is. And that is Stunned to a News. It is also a Trash Tuesday, so bring us your trashes. Daryl tweets, I'm trashing myself for falling asleep on the couch instead of my bed. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
Lewis in Palmdale is trashing people who need to upgrade their cell phone or computer because it's too slow, only to bog it down immediately with a four-hour data transfer, then complain about it. Trash Tuesday.
That's garbage, and we're not talking about the band.
Ryan tweets, I'm trashing technology for 15 seconds this morning, DA. You sounded like you were using Schwartz's special voice disguising button. Trash it.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Thomas tweets, I'm trashing CBS Sports Radio's promos, who are still telling me to listen to Tiki and Tierney for strong opinions.
I mean, you're lucky you're not getting a Feinstein or a TBD in the morning promo still. Count your blessings, and that's almost correct.
Overflowing landfill.
It's Scott Farrell. Nights. Followed by the DA show. Overnights. Listen to CBS Sports Radio.
Chris Moore. Brian Jones.
Listen to any one of the six morning shows we've ever had here on the network.
It's Tom Tolbert with his CBS Sports Minute.
Wow, great, great pull. How long did Tolbert do those minutes for? Six months?
3 weeks, I think it was.
6 weeks.
The only one here shorter was our good buddy Brandon Cristal. I feel like he was out in like 17 days.
Yeah, Tolbert did him long enough to almost get me fired for being a minute late to his.
Sheps had a column longer than BK was doing sports minutes.
Jack Stern wasn't born yet when Tolbert was still doing the minutes.
Adam tweets, he's Adam the former bath guy. I'm trashing Stetson Bennett's parents for giving their son a badass name and making everybody else feel less about their own name. Trash him.
That's a dumpster dive.
It's interesting. Is Stetson Bennett a badass name or kind of a nerdy name?
I mean, he's Stetson Bennett IV. I think it's a good name. The numeral helps, and Stetson Bennett is pretty badass. Plus, you're a college quarterback. He's doing a pretty good job with the name.
Advanced analytics and your epic fail next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Kyle in Arizona, not a fan of bums with babies. Here's your fail. Kyle's in Arizona this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. Kyle, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, DA?
I'm good, my man. How you doing?
Can I throw a trash out there?
Yeah, it's Trash Tuesday. What do you got to trash?
Can I trash the bums in Phoenix? I took my son to the Miami Heat Suns game, and then the bums came out in trolls.
What?
Everyone's got a Everyone's got a car seat. I got a baby. Can I have some money? I'm like,
feed them.
They're babies.
Well, maybe feed them during halftime.
What are you teaching babies about basketball?
Well, why does it always have to be a thing? What?
Sure, here's $5. Okay, I just got this baby. Can I get some more?
Ooh, yeah, mama.
Like, man, this is just irresponsible out here.
Oh, I thought you meant bums like fans and attendants of the game. You're talking about people that were asking for money outside the arena and they had baby car seats?
These people must have borrowed a baby from someone.
But I was a baby.
Just to drive around and say, hey, look, they open up the back door and go, I have a baby, can I have some money?
Wait a second, so these people were asking for money and they had cars and they were able to drive their cars? So they got enough cash for the cars?
Yeah, they pull up to us at gas stations. When we're getting gas, they pull up and open up the back seat and like, look, I have a baby, can I have some money?
This might be the cutest baby crawl race we've ever witnessed here at the Smoothie King Center.
What?
And you have to because it's a baby.
It's a baby, so of course you can have some money.
Ridiculous. I think it's totally ridiculous.
You don't think the babies are happy?
They're not happy at all. They don't know where they are.
So you gave them $5.
$5.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Trash them all.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I think the entire world should be for babies, but it's not my fault.
Your analytics today revolves around Pete's trash because Pete went to the cell phone store and spent 4 hours in there as they transferred his data. Why does it take so long to transfer your data to a new phone? 61% of you say the technology is outdated. 27% say it's to get you to spend more. And 11% say it's because the staff is Laz, which is perfect that Mraz forgot the why on lazy on the poll question.
Oh, no!
By virtue of Mraz perhaps being lazy, we forgot to put the why on lazy. By the way, what makes AutoZone's America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries. They've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti, on the wheels of steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow morning. I'm DA, and the Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.